I'm going to read now from the 66th Psalm, which we'll consider in some detail. Psalm 66. Make a joyful shout to God, all the earth. Sing out the honour of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your works. Through the greatness of your power, your enemies shall submit themselves to you. All the earth shall worship you and sing praises to you. They shall sing praises to your name, Selah. Come and see the works of God. He is awesome in his doing toward the sons of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the river on foot. There we will rejoice in him. He rules by his power forever. His eyes observe the nations. Do not let the rebellious exalt themselves. Selah. Oh, bless our God, you peoples, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, who keeps our soul among the living, and does not allow our feet to be moved. For you, O God, have tested us. You have refined us as silver is refined. You brought us into the net. You laid affliction on our backs. You have caused men to ride over our heads. We went through the fire and through water, but you brought us out to rich fulfillment. I will go into your house with burnt offerings. I will pay you my vows, which my lips have uttered, and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. I will offer you burnt sacrifices of fat animals with the sweet aroma of rams. I will offer bulls with goats, Selah. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul. I cried to him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. But certainly God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, who has not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Amen. Lord God, we do indeed make that our prayer. And as we look now upon that psalm, O Lord God, we pray that your precious Holy Spirit, the great Comforter, will come and apply these words to our very souls, that he might fill us more, and that we might say this morning, we have met with our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I'd like now to consider that 66th Psalm. When we meet for our weekly prayer meeting, I tend to give a very brief word, typically on a psalm. And this is one of the ones I chose quite some weeks ago, and I was struck by it. And I thought, well, I must preach on that psalm. And I believe this is the appropriate occasion for it. I think the psalm breaks down quite neatly into the different groups of people to which it's addressed. The first section is addressed to everybody on the planet. The second middle section is addressed to the we, God's people. And the final section is about I. The psalmist speaks of himself, and then later on, he speaks once more to everyone. So he begins, "Make a joyful shout to God, all the earth. Sing out the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious." Well, in one sense, we were not likely to see that verse fulfilled unless Jesus comes back. I am looking forward to the return of Christ, when he will rule not just invisibly on the earth, but visibly. Right now, he rules in the church and he rules in our hearts, and by providence, he rules the planet. But the day is coming, and we, thank God, are now a year closer to when he will visibly return in power, and there will indeed be a joyful shout to God, all the earth, on that day. Both we who love him and long for his coming, and they who despise him and do not even believe in him, will bow the knee, and their tongues, like ours, will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. By the same token, verses 1 and 2 is an invitation. It's an invitation to make a joyful shout to God now. I thank God for the glorious gospel in which we believe. This wonderful, fantastic invitation to everybody alive to come and have the second Adam reign in your heart. Because the first Adam has been reigning long enough. His reign of death and his reign of sin and his reign of destruction. That deathly inheritance with which we were born, even conceived in the womb. When we yield to Christ, the image of God is restored once more in the broken sons and daughters of Adam. And so there is a great invitation, a summoning, a summons in these first verses. A joyful shout, his praise glorious. Say to God, in verse 3, "How awesome are your works. Through the greatness of your power, your enemies shall submit yourselves to you." When you behold the beauties of creation, you cannot but praise God. Now, I walked to chapel this morning. I wondered if the roads would be clear enough. I realised they were, but I decided I would still walk. Because seeing the snow on the hills and in the fields and having the benefit of sunshine, I mean, it's a glorious walk anyway. But a number of times today, anybody walking behind me would have heard me praising God for the beauty and the wonders of this world. And let me tell you, this world is fallen and corrupted by sin. So if this world, though it be corrupted and devastated by evil, how much more glorious will the new heavens and the new earth be to which we are heading? Wow. How awesome are your works. Through the greatness of your power, your enemies shall submit themselves to you. Yes, God has enemies, but they will submit. Every knee, every tongue, all the earth shall worship you and sing praises to you. They shall sing praises to your name, Selah. He continues in verse 5. "Come and see the works of God. He is awesome in his doing towards the sons of men. Not only is creation wonderful, but his dealings with the human race are so admirable also. And in verse 6, the psalmist in particular thinks of Israel's deliverance from Egypt into the promised land. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the river Jordan on foot. They could not have done that without him. Now, God has never parted a sea or a river for me. But I can look back. I can look back on many deliverances which I have received. And at the start of a year, we often look forward, but we can also look back and say, come and see the works of God. He is awesome in his doing towards the sons of men. And we who've walked with him a while can list the times when he has delivered and rescued and saved and assured and comforted and helped and strengthened. They will rejoice in him. Indeed, we will. He rules by his power forever. His eyes observe the nations. Do not let the rebellious exalt themselves. The psalmist knows that the nations of the earth in his day, and certainly in ours, are plotting and scheming and doing all sorts in secret. But God sees all. Someone prayed earlier for our persecuted brethren. His eyes observe the nations. Do not let the rebellious exalt themselves. So the first section is addressed to everybody. It's an invitation to everybody on the planet to come and praise your Maker. Bless your Creator. Enter into a relationship with him through Christ Jesus. Why? Because he is awesome and because he is powerful, but also because he delivers and he rescues. Who on earth would want to live without him? And then in the middle section, in verse 8 he begins, oh, bless our God, you peoples, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, who keeps our soul among the living and does not allow our feet to be moved. There are many peoples described in verse 8, and yet these many peoples call God their own. This is not just addressed to Old Testament Israel. The Holy Spirit has revealed to the psalmist that the day is coming when there will be people of every tribe, nation and tongue who will call the God of Israel their God. We are they. Oh, bless our God, you peoples. Make the voice of his praise to be heard. I am glad we're able to meet. I suspect we always used to say that kind of thing. But I think in January 2021, I think we are more grateful than we would previously have been. Yes, there are restrictions and it's all very annoying, but thank God we're here. And I also thank God that we are making the voice of his praise to be heard. He keeps our soul among the living. Now, in one respect, that could apply to physical life. He keeps us alive. But one day, our bodies will expire and our spirits will go to be with Christ, which is better by far. I've said it before, I'll say it again. A Christian does not die. He is always among the living. He's either in the body or he's with the Lord. He keeps our soul among the living and does not allow our feet to be moved. In other words, the wind can blow and the waters can rise, but the one who follows the living God will stand firm and be secure. For you, O God, have tested us. Now verses 10, 11 and 12 are quite hard to read. And some might say, well, there's a contradiction between verse 9 and verse 5 with verses 10, 11 and 12. Here they are. Verse 10, for you, O God, have tested us. You have refined us as silver is refined. You brought us into the net. You laid affliction on our backs. You have caused men to ride over our heads. We went through the fire and through water. Well, in verse 9 it says, who keeps our soul among the living and does not allow our feet to be moved. And then in the very immediate verses which follow, there is a list of all the trials and difficulties he allows us to go through. Well, look at the last section of verse 12. But, thank God for the buts of scripture. But you brought us out. What did he bring us out of? He brought us out of the fire. He brought us out of the water. He brought us out of men riding over our heads. He brought us out of the affliction on our backs. He brought us out of the net. He brought us out of the fire in which silver is refined. And that clause in verse 10 hints at the reason the Lord allows us to go through difficulty and calamity, that we might be refined, that we might be purified, that we might be a higher grade by the time he's finished than we were when he started. And sometimes through life we find ourselves in a net. We find ourselves with a sore back. Our enemies riding over us. Sometimes it feels that we are passing through a fire. Sometimes it feels like we're passing through the flood. In this country, sometimes literally. But you brought us out. So the Lord allows his people to go through trial and difficulty, fire and flood, and he will bring you out, but he'll bring you out refined. He'll bring you out stronger and purer, with a holier faith, able to trust him more. The Apostle Paul tells the Thessalonians, in everything, give thanks. It's a short verse, but my, it's hard to do. There are some things for which I don't want to be thankful. But I can be. Because God will never allow you to go through anything, any fire or any water, without promising to bring you out. Without promising to refine you like silver. Some of you will remember this time last year, or the Watch Night service 2019-20. And I probably stood in this pulpit Lord, we give this next year to you. And for many people, it's been an absolutely horrible year. And what shall I say of 2021? What fires and floods are in store? I do not know. And I thank God I don't know. But I thank God that He does. And whatever we go through, He will bring you out to abundance. He will bring you out to rich fulfillment. He'll bring you out as silver is refined. Some of us can look back at our childhoods and remember episodes which at the time were deeply frustrating and upsetting. But with age and wisdom and distance, we can look back and either laugh or say, well, it made me who I am. How much more can we say that spiritually? The third section. Is the psalmist really speaking of himself? He's addressed everybody. He's addressed we, the people of God. Now he speaks of himself. I will go into your house with burnt offerings. I will pay you my vows, which my lips have uttered and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. I will offer you burnt sacrifices of fat animals with the sweet aroma of rams. I will offer bulls with goats, Selah. We must remember that the psalmist is writing at the time of the temple or the tabernacle, when one would worship by literally sacrificing animals. Today, we have no such need. Christ was sacrificed once and for all. And yet, we can still offer to God and sacrifice to him. No bleating animal, but that which we have. In an agricultural society, you measure your wealth in animals. That which I have, that which I have been given, I say, with Alan and Wesley, let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and wholeheartedly yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. I don't know what vows the psalmist made. Evidently, he has been in some trouble. And he has made promises to God which he intends to honour and fulfil. He prayed for deliverance. He was delivered. And now he gives thanks in worship. And this is a personal worship. There is a sense in which we as a church, a fellowship, we are involved now in collective worship. Thank God it's allowed. But we also worship individually, by ourselves, as an individual person. He then addresses the we from verse 16, the collective gathering of God's people. Come and hear, all you who fear God. It's us again. What about that phrase, fear God? I've heard people say, well, it doesn't really mean fear. No, 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 no. Well, why use that word then? I think it does mean fear. Not a fear as in terrified of speaking to him. Sometimes kids at school say, people go to church, they write this in exams, people go to church because they're afraid of going to hell. I don't come to church because I'm afraid of going to hell. I come to church because I'm not afraid of going to hell. And yet there is a sense in which this awesome God who performs awesome works through the greatness of his power is not a God to be trifled with. When we consider somebody our friend, we generally mean they're our peer, our equal, but God is our friend, our brother, our shepherd, yet he's also our king, our lord, our creator, and sovereign master. And though we cannot, through experience, marry the two, they are married perfectly in him. Come and hear, all you who fear God. And I will declare what he has done for my soul. Isn't it lovely when we have fellowship with Christians? Sometimes when I've been abroad and I've met a fellow believer, it's been so refreshing to speak with someone who loves the Lord as I do, that I can declare to them what he has done for my soul, and he or she can declare to me what he has done for their soul. Come and hear, all you who fear God. You know, more people will listen to this sermon on the internet than are in this chapel now. I imagine some of them are the other side of the planet. And I say to them, as I say to us, come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul. What has he done for my soul? He's refined it like silver. Though he allowed me to go through fire and water, he's brought me out to abundance. I cried out to him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. And iniquity, sin, wickedness. I'm afraid its influence continues in our heart even after we fear God. In our resurrection body, there'll be no such lurking. But while we live in this world, the flesh, the sinful nature, will always try to reassert itself. And we fight the battle daily. And we have the Holy Spirit's help and all the authority of the blood of Calvary. But it's a battle we all face. It's there. And when it says, if I regard it, I think it means if I listen to it, I heed it, I do what it tells me to do, I honour it. Put to death the misdeeds of the body. Crucify the old man. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear, but certainly God has heard me. I don't know what he's been delivered from, but he's been delivered. And he cried out to God, not regarding iniquity, but he cried out for help. And what does he say? He has attended to the voice of my prayer. The prayer of the righteous man is powerful and effective. And then he concludes in verse 20. I love this conclusion. Blessed be God, who has not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Wouldn't it be terrible if God came to us and said, look, I said I would save you and I'd be merciful, but quite frankly, you've used up all the available credit. There's no mercy left. Or what if God said, look, I converted you so many years ago, but quite frankly, your lifestyle has not been good enough. You're no longer one of mine. He will say no such thing. Blessed be God. He has not turned away from my prayer, nor his mercy from me.